Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
All right, Major League Baseball opening day Thursday. We've got the defending World Series champion Houston Rockets hosting the White Sox, 7 Eastern, 6 Central on ESPN and the app. Our 34th year broadcasting MLB on ESPN.
The liberal media just refuses to give the Houston Astros their praise, their due. And we will hold them to task all year long, as the Astros will become the first team since the New York Yankees of 98, 99, and 2000 to repeat as World Series champions. You heard it here first. Guys, we're so close. I feel just like I felt every single year on Christmas Eve. I got jitters. I can't fall asleep. I'm super hyped up. We are one day away from the return of the greatest franchise in this city's sports history to action. Can you feel the excitement in the air? Do you have goosebumps? Are you tingling? You should be excited. Welcome aboard today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show on this Wednesday, Hump Day, March 29th of 2023, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One you could jump aboard, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 on the HRNP text line. You can also join us in our often toxic Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. A couple people ask, who TF was that guy who called the Houston Astros the Houston Rockets? It's just the faceless liberal media, okay? They're trying to keep the Astros down. Should I do every single show like this? Just keep this very aggressive, defend the wall, put on for my city energy with every single show? What say you at Sean A. Mapes, Sean Mapes behind the glass?
You haven't started doing this. This is just something you do.
Right. It's almost as soon as the season begins, I'm like, you know, I could be objective, fair, balanced.
Even-handed, yeah.
Thoughtful. Not an idiot, yeah, while talking about the Astros. But it's much more fun to just be a jerk and talk down to everybody, to act as if I know more about baseball literally because I have a job in a city where the team is the best in all the land. But you know what? It's so fun. It is. And yeah, I know a lot of people think I have a little fetish for the Seattle Mariners. Other people think I'm obsessed with the New York Yankees because I talk about them so much. Whatever. It's fun. Baseball season's finally here. Real baseball season's finally here. We do have some odds and ends to clean up with spring training now officially in the rear view mirror. The rotation against the Chicago White Sox is as follows. Framber Valdez gets the start on opening night tomorrow night. You get, after that, they messed this up. Christian Vasquez, Urquidy, Garcia, Hunter Brown's going to start on Monday. Megan the Stallion will throw out the first pitch. No word on if Clay Walker, possibly canceled, will be doing the national anthem at any point this season for the Astros, but confirmed he will not be doing it in any of the first three nights of this Astros season, Sean.
Do you know who's going to be saying play ball?
No, who's going to be saying play ball?
Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg.
How did they get Mark Wahlberg?
I don't know.
Have we brought in another celebrity to jump on the bandwagon? I'd welcome Mark Wahlberg on the bandwagon. Now, he might
of course he would
fight a lot of people, but yeah. Hey, Sean, it's okay. It's okay.
Don't take him around Bel Air.
I'm a asshole. He can come aboard with us. 50 Cent came aboard with us. We're growing the brand. This is how you become a thing. This is how we get more people to wear Houston Astros hats when they're traveling abroad than Yankees hats. It starts like this. Mark Wahlberg, though, that is a random one. You would think he would be at Fenway Park for the Red Sox or something like that. Also, if he's going to be there, what are the odds that he leaves early, much like he left early from Super Bowl 51 between the Patriots and the Falcons that took place here in Houston? Something that should be held against him. If you believe Tom Brady's your Lord and Savior, other details as the Astros wrap up spring training. Cesar Salazar is going to be the third catcher. Corey Lee, no. So it's going to be Martin Maldonado and Yennier Diaz. Justin Durden, the outfielder who was having a good spring, he did not make the opening day roster. Some guy named Corey Jolks made it. I don't know anything about him, but hey. Seth Martinez and Ronel Blanco got the last two bullpen spots. No lefties, which Dusty's a tad annoyed by. And also, this was cool to see for the Space Cowboys, Sugarland Space Cowboys, who you can hear right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Forrest Whitley was on the hill. He actually had a good night pitching against the Astros. 39-56 pitches for strikes, 13 whiffs. He struck out 5, 2 hits. He didn't walk anybody. That's nice to see. Maybe there is hope still for Forrest Whitley. The big concern, what's going on at second base? Are the Astros going to bring somebody in? General manager Dana Brown was asked that very question.
Yeah, initially we're going to let our guys play a little bit. I think we have some internal candidates that we're excited about, and we're going to watch them play. Oftentimes when you go outside the organization, you're in a position where you got to give up prospects. And of course, no matter who you get, when Altuve comes back, he's playing, right? So we just have to be careful in that area. We have engaged outside the organization, but right now we're very comfortable with what we have in the organization as we continue to talk to other teams.
I'm not thrilled about Mauricio Dubon at second base, but I suppose we have to watch and let it all play out. He's bigger, don't you know? He gained 25 pounds this offseason, and supposedly he is the best fielder. Dusty Baker said something yesterday that I relate with so much, and I am a big Dusty Baker fan. We all should be Dusty Baker fans. I think that lineup questioning with Dusty Baker is now heretical behavior. You can't question the lineups. You can't. Not anymore. Not after this postseason. Postseason's all that matters, right? Are we really going to question the lineup on a daily basis the way that we did last year? But Dusty Baker had some thoughts that I think all of us relate to. Spring training, you just want to fast forward through the whole thing.
Heck yeah, that's everybody's mindset. I mean, you know, how much homework can you do? You know, you got to take tests on the layer, and spring training is like homework. You know, but if you don't do your homework, you're not going to be ready to take the test. And so, are we ready? You can either spend your time getting ready, or you can fool yourself and tell yourself you are ready because you don't have any choices going to start.
It's the most frustrating time of the year, and it's been magnified by Jose Altuve's injury in the World Baseball Classic spring training. Dusty's right. It is homework, but it's the kind of homework that you want to skip and or copy of friends and just not think anything about it going forward. Who hasn't done that? Is everyone going to act innocent here?
Well, Paul, you went to great schools your whole life. We always have thought of you as a highly educated scholar. Are you telling me that you took other people's homework and passed it as your own from time to time?
No, I didn't do that, but I did change the words a little bit. It was a class. It didn't matter. It was college. It's fine. But now we're finally at the start of the regular season, after going through the most frustrating part of the baseball calendar. And it has me wondering, what's the most frustrating part of the sports calendar in every single major Houston sport? I would argue that for the NFL, it is right now. It's not June. It's not July, where you've got mini camp and training camp. It is right now. The aftermath of free agency to the start of the NFL draft, leads to some of the most insufferable conversation that you will hear, because it's entirely based in speculation by people who legitimately do not know what's going to happen, trying to play it off as if they know what's going to happen. Oh man, I'm going to do a mock draft. My mock draft features trades too. One team traded back into the first round. I saw a couple yesterday, and I'm just wondering with these people, guys, do we really need to go these depths to provide Texans content to the starving masses, or just NFL content? Once again, guess what's being discussed on ESPN's First Take? Lamar Jackson. Who would have thought? It's only been discussed for the last week. This time of year for a football conversation is absolute pits, as the Limeys say. The pits. I think that's... No, my bad. They say the bins. It's the bins. It's rubbish. There are some terms by the Limeys that are fun to say. That one is. It's the bins. Throw it in the bin over there. Rocket season. What's the most frustrating part of the year? The whole season. Sadly, that's where we're at. Was this year a waste of time? Yes. It was. This year was a waste of time. Jabari Smith Jr., he's looking good the last couple of games. Maybe that's a sign of things to come next year. Maybe it's because it's the last month of the year when no one's trying, and we sometimes put a lot of stock into what happens at the end of the year. Jalen Green last year. Cougars hoops. What's the most frustrating time of the year for them? The entire conference schedule, but that's going to change now that they've moved in to the Big 12. And for the Astros, I think you could argue that there are other stretches in the year that are equally frustrating. The first couple of weeks of April, when it comes to the baseball season, they're great. First couple of months, I would say that your commitment level peters off just a little bit. You're watching the games on a nightly basis. Once you get to July with the All-Star break, and after the trade deadline, August and September, I think, are right behind spring training when it comes to the baseball season. And it's become that way for the Astros just because of the fact that the American League West has been doo-doo for the last couple of years. Maybe that changes. Maybe Texas is actually competent this year. Maybe the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim can make their two MVPs turn into a team with an actual winning record. Maybe playing against more teams outside of the American League West, 24 less games against them, will make it a little bit more interesting this year. You know what? If the Astros lose a couple more games and things are more competitive, I don't hate that, because it did start to get rather boring after I made this bold proclamation. The Astros will overtake the Yankees for the one seed in the American League when they were seven games back. And it happened 2 weeks later. You know, it got a little boring. Who are you competing with? But what's the most frustrating part of the sports calendar for all the major Houston sports teams in town? You got a thought on that? 713-780-3776 to call, to text in as well. Up next, something that has been panned universally as bad for baseball that took place this weekend was actually good. I'll explain why next. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to The Paul Galacho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Eric the Driver texts in about the news that we have for the opening series for the Houston Astros. We know Megan Thee Stallion is going to throw out the first pitch. Mark Wahlberg is going to say play ball. And I guess Cody Johnson is going to play the national anthem. But he texts in, Eric the Driver. 50 moved to Houston before the bandwagon jumping. Marky Mark is definitely still a Sox fan. Guys, it's okay. They can all jump on the bandwagon. They can all jump on. And you guys might know Cody Johnson for, you know, some of his great hits. Like Long Live Cowgirls. Long live cowgirls. I like it when they wear their boots. Long live cowgirls. I also like their boobs. Who can forget that song? Okay.
He doesn't have any more?
No, that's it.
Wonder, Cody. Cody Johnson.
There's diamond in my pocket. I got a diamond in my pocket. I'm talking about engagement rings, fellas. Not that.
Got a diamond in my pocket? Or are you happy to see
that
me?
Diamond's hard. Yeah, he's talking about the diamond. There's Dear Rodeo. Dear Rodeo, hey, what do you know? I got to say, pause for a moment before we shift into something that happened in baseball that was good over the weekend. I'm getting triggered by what's on the mothership. We are sharing space with the mothership over the next couple of days. Mad Dog Russo, also known as Chris, had this to say about the top five MLB storylines in baseball. One, rule changes. Two, New York state of mind. Three, trendy teams. What? Four, the Angels. Five, Chi-Town. What are you talking about? Okay, what's happening in Chicago? I don't know. How about we ask Lori Lightfoot? Four, Angels? Really? We're doing this again? Three, trendy teams? Who are the trendy teams? Two, New York state of mind. We get it. You're from New York. Rule changes is number one. That one makes sense. Where is Astros? Repeat. Huh? That's it. And we're putting Angels there. Get out. But he's such a great baseball mind, Paul. No, he's just loud and has a more piercing, shrill voice than me. Congratulations, Chris Mad Dog Russo.
It's like you went into it like trying not to include the best teams. Because other than the New York state of mind, there's like none of it. The NL East having three great teams.
But no, they're just trendy, okay? San Diego, trendy. The Dodgers, trendy. The Phillies, who made it to the World Series last year, trendy. The Braves, World Series favorites, I believe, trendy.
Seattle.
The Blue Jays, Seattle, and the Astros, trendy. Those eight teams, trendy. But the two New York teams matter more. What are you smoking, Christopher? I do not understand the appeal of Mike and the Mad Dog. It is a terrible show. Everyone's, you know what's to it.
But it's in New York. You wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it.
New York, always creating itself as the center of the universe. Hey, Yankees, win literally any game against the Houston Astros. Any. I know, you won two last year. They were walk-offs. Win any game. Then we can shift the conversation. On the same front. Hey, how about we go through a year where the Mets don't have a bunch of players die before the season even begins? Figuratively, of course. Edwin Diaz, for example. Are we really doing this again? I mean, God forbid that me, noted baseball expert Paul Gallant, know more about baseball than ESPN. But did I not just do a better job with that segment? And here's what's funny. He'll do that segment, and none of the other people on that panel will have any idea what he's talking about. There's Keyshawn Johnson there. Keyshawn Johnson doesn't even know anything about baseball. Remember we were talking with him about when it was Vanessa and Gallant? We had like a live stream, and Vanessa and I were like asking him basic questions about the Dodgers, and he was like, well, you know, and then he would just shift it back to like, you're just biased because you're from Houston. I was like, no. We just don't understand why the Dodgers can't make it back to a World Series when everyone, you know, pumps them up. And we also think that they have an asterisk title, having won in a pandemic where one of their players had COVID. Super spreader, Justin Turner. People forget. People forget.
Oh, but Paul, you know, Florida, Texas.
Yeah, Justin Turner was in whatever state it was. I forget. Was it Florida? Was it Texas?
It was Texas.
That man should have been deported. Hashtag secede. Wait, where are we going? Oh, a good story happened over the last couple of days in baseball. It has to do with Chris Russo's biggest storyline for the baseball season this year. It has to do with what? Rule changes. Because there's a pitch clock now. Everyone's acting like the umpire show is in full effect after a sequence in the fourth inning where Craig Kimbrell had committed a pitch timer violation. Phillies catcher JT Realmuto was in the crouch position, had his glove back, was waiting for the umpire to put in his glove, and then dropped the glove. Was there intent behind it? I don't know. But when an umpire gets shown up by a guy who just had a pitch clock violation in Kimbrel, who starts pouting and slowly lollygagging his way back to the mound, which is not shown in the video that went viral, and then you have the catcher sticking his glove out and then pulling a Lucy in Charlie Brown just moving his glove away at the last second. Yeah, Realmuto should have been ejected. He should have been. He was being a jerk. So was Craig Kimbrell. You're being babies, tiny little babies that still can't adapt to a rule change that's been in effect for a month.
get over it, get over yourself, and pitch the bleeping ball. That's the problem here, guys. You guys all act like it's a pace of play thing. No, it's that the players have hijacked the game and have turned it into this because they're giant babies. And the Players Association backs them and backs them strongly. The umpires should 100% flex on these time wasters as much as they possibly can.
It's a mental game.
No, it's not, guys. You're throwing a bleeping ball.
But you got to figure out the pitch. You got to figure out the location.
Get back to the mound and pitch the ball, you crybaby. Kimbrel should have been ejected for it, too, just because it would have been fun. But I'm all for the umpire show this year. I'm all for it. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see them eject guys left and right. You're out of here. You're out of here. You're out of here. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. And some people are saying this is bad for baseball. Nope. The umpires need to show these guys up because the players have been walking all over them for years. That's the only way this stops. E315 on the Twitch. Paul hates Whataburger in baseball. Is he gay? Question mark. See, that's a very weird jump. Right? Like, I don't know how that relates. The question that will always be asked about this show, we're never going to 100% answer it, you guys. But I do have an update in Paul Gallant's dating life. Last night, you might have heard, I was supposed to go on a date. No, starting it off with supposed to. With a girl from the Houston greater Pilati Luminati. What did you have, Sean, for the term that was better yesterday?
I think it was Illuminati.
Illuminati. Guess what happened? It was at about 3 o'clock. I checked my phone to see what's happening, to double check. And I want to know if you guys buy this. Hey, Paul. How are you? I'm just finishing up work. I'm so sorry, but I have to reschedule tonight. I just found out my brother flew in by surprise with his girlfriend. They're engaged. So no date. We have rescheduled, but skeptic me starting to wonder what's going on here. But hey, shooters shoot. You guys have seen the movie Along Came Polly, right? This is me. I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman's character in that movie. We shoot high volume, baby.
Let it rain! Rain dance! Let it rain! Let it rain!
So we just keep shooting. You know what we did instead? Last night, improvised, got on another app, said, hey, what are you doing tonight? Now, this person, for some reason, thinks that I live in New York City. And thought, hey, let's do a virtual date. And I was like, well, how about we just, you know, meet here? But we did a virtual date on Hinge like it's still the pandemic. That was fun. So we'll see where that one goes. I had a good time. Tonight, I'm supposed to have another date, but haven't heard from this person in a while. Radio silence. So pretty sure the eject button's been pressed on that one. What do? You ask somebody else out. Oh, we might have backup plans tonight. We might be juggling plans. Maybe I should have them both show up at the same place and see what happens. Sean shaking his head. Yes, that would be disrespectful. You're right.
Like it's a 90s sitcom where you have two dates at two different tables.
We may as well. Look, guys, I'm giving you free content, okay? You could get draft content or you could hear about how my dating life is just an absolute train wreck. We could go further. You guys can be my therapist. It'll be great. I'll just dump it all out to you. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're letting it rain, okay? We might clank a lot, but we will keep shooting, guys. We will not give up. We will never surrender. We will fight on the island. We will fight in the beaches. We will fight in the streets. I'm Winston Churchill all of a sudden. Up next, draft tea leaves? Have the Indianapolis Colts revealed what, excuse me, have the Carolina Panthers revealed what they're going to do with that number one overall pick? We'll discuss. Plus, I love all of the excuses that teams are giving as to why they're not pursuing Lamar Jackson. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand! Hush!
tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Rarely do you get a top-notch free agent just strolling on through the lobby.
Big-time receiver. Some of us are small-time insiders who are standing on a box to look the same height as the other guys, Steve.
That's right. I'm the one not on the box.
Step down for a second, Ian.
No, MJ? I'm good.
It was going so well until it took a turn there.
That was Tom Pelissero destroying Ian Rappaport's self-confidence as you heard right there. Ian Rappaport steps on a box to do his reports when he is standing next to other people who are taller than him. How big is this box? A great question. But it does remind us of last year when James Palmer of the NFL Network, my guy, I love James, was on with Ian Rappaport, and clearly off the air, Ian Rappaport had been talking about how he thought he could survive in a Russian prison. It's fun to talk about now. I guess it wasn't fun to talk about because Brittany Griner was in jail at the time. But Ian Rappaport stands on a platform box and believes that he would be able to survive in a Russian prison. I'm not a big Ian Rappaport fan. I'm not. Adam Schefter, at the very least, has a sense of humor about himself, so I can get behind that. But for the most part, the super reporters of the NFL are just doing the bidding of agents across the league. Anyway, I said that we have some draft tea leaves. I know, I did say the draft conversation is dumb just about a couple of minutes ago. But here's what we're hearing about what Panthers head coach Frank Reich might want, courtesy of reporter Stephen Holder. Panthers coach Frank Reich to me. He tweeted, "Who should we pick?" Told him, "I think you're taking the guy who looks like the prototype quarterback," meaning CJ Stroud. I'll say this, he didn't try to talk me out of it. LOL. Well, you didn't say CJ Stroud, dude. Can you stop? Because that could also be Anthony Richardson. That could also be Will Levis. And theoretically, that also could be Bryce Young, who in college looked like the prototype franchise quarterback because he was that good. But this is draft season, baby. We are going to squeeze all the juice that we possibly can. So anyway, that's the latest tea leaf. As far as Lamar Jackson goes, that's what Ian Rappaport was talking about with Tom Pelissero and Steve Weich of the NFL Network. The Patriots, who, per Robert Kraft, know that Lamar Jackson is interested in them, are not interested in Lamar Jackson. Texans? Laremy Tunsil tweeted this out yesterday. What's up? With 1, 2, 3 S's and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 P's, 5 exclamation points. Come to the city. And then he threw up the H. Hell yeah. Laremy Tunsil doing a little recruiting. Teams are just talking about now how they're not interested in Lamar Jackson, and some of these excuses have been fun. Jim Irsay of the Indianapolis Colts told Stephen Holder this: "The money is not a problem." But Irsay also told Zach Kiefer of The Athletic, "I do not believe in fully guaranteed contracts." Wait a second, then what is it when it comes to Lamar Jackson? What is your hold of it if it's not about the money? The fully guaranteed money? Because that would mean that it's about the money. Here's what Ron Rivera of the Washington Commanders had to say about the Commanders' lack of interest in Lamar Jackson. That move makes so much sense. "We honestly never did consider it. It was just something that we didn't feel suited what we wanted to do." What, be better? Be watchable? Not make that entire fan base want to kill themselves every Sunday?
Isn't saying that "we honestly never considered it" like you should just get fired on the spot?
Yes.
Like, you should just, like, what? You never considered?
How do you not consider Lamar Jackson? You guys have been quarterbacked by bleeping Taylor Heineke, Carson Wentz, but you're too good for Lamar Jackson?
Also,
Jesus.
The current quarterbacks on the roster, Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell.
Ooh. Sam Howell, though.
Didn't even consider Lamar Jackson.
Unbelievable. But it is believable, because when you hear this many people talking about it, and yes, it's the NFL owners meeting,
meetings. It does sound like collusion a little bit. I know he's a tremendous talent. I know he's a player that can impact your team. I just didn't think, as we sat down and talked about it, that was the direction for us as a football team. What's the direction then? You have none.
They don't want tremendous talent, all right, Paul? What do you not get about this?
I don't get it.
They want Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell.
If Lamar Jackson's on the team, Daniel Snyder makes more money in the sale. Period.
That is true, and you wouldn't have to pay him.
Right. You wouldn't have to pay him a dime. He's out. Valuation goes up by $1 billion. If you watched Succession on Sunday, billions get thrown around casually. If you watch any negotiating sessions, which, again, it's fictionalized.
In TV shows, yes.
Succession's a great show, though. That was a nice welcome back by them. Arthur Blank of the Atlanta Falcons, who, of course, wanted Deshaun Watson last year, said that going after Deshaun Watson is different than not going after Lamar Jackson. Why? There's no question Jackson's one of the top quarterbacks in the league, but it's a different player in a different time than last offseason. And then he questioned Jackson's durability. Look at it objectively, I'd say there's some concern over how long he can play his style of game. Hopefully a long time, but he's missed 5-6 games each of the last 2 years. Each game counts a lot in our business. Deshaun Watson's barely played for the last 2 years. He didn't play 2 years ago. He played like 6 games this past year. Also, he's torn his ACL twice. So, sorry, that one's not working, Arthur Blank. Lamar Jackson tweeted in response to that specific one, "Let's get real. I rather have 100% PCL than go out there and play horrible, forcing myself and my guys in a bad situation. That's selfish to me." He also says, "I don't ever remember sitting out an injury in week 1 against the Jets or week 12 against the Broncos when he was hurt. How come all of a sudden I sit out because of money, in which I could have got hurt at any time within that time frame, when we know the Super Bowl has been on my mind since April of 2018? It does feel like there's a little collusion going on, but it's going to be impossible to prove. That's the problem. Some rule changes. They are not going to flex Thursday night football games, so you might be stuck with some duds. And the NFL has also voted in favor of letting players wear number 0.
Great rule.
I want to see double 0.
Whoa.
Is that too much?
Next year's owner's meeting.
Okay, next year's owner's meeting.
We'll see if Ron Rivera considers that.
It should be. Yeah, he'll consider that, but not Lamar Jackson.
Arthur Blank. He simply didn't have enough accusations of sexual assault for us to consider him. I'm sorry.
So true. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Should we ask ESPN baseball analyst Doug Glanville about the 5 best storylines for the MLB season this year, which per Chris Russo are 1, rule changes, 2, New York state of mind, 3, trendy teams, 4, the Angels, and 5, Chi-Town. Should we ask him about that? He's going to join us next. We actually had a fun conversation. It's next right here, The Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
ESPN starting the season with an exclusive national broadcast on opening night as the reigning World Series champion Houston Astros host the Chicago White Sox at 6 o'clock. Doug Glanville is going to be the analyst for the game on ESPN Radio on the television broadcast, by the way. Roger Clemens going to be a special guest analyst, joining Carl Ravick, Eduardo Perez, and Buster Olney. Baseball Tonight leads into the action with the Astros World Series banner raising ceremony at 5 o'clock. Now joining us on the HR&P guest line, it is Doug Glanville, who played baseball for the Philadelphia Phillies. Did I butcher the intro to this? We pre-recorded the interview. Sorry, Sean. This is what happens when you read a script and then all of a sudden you just drift off into ADD land. Doug Glanville with us right now on the Paul Gallant Show. Doug Glanville with us on the HR&P guest line, and baseball analyst for ESPN, but you also might know him for his time in the majors. Doug, checking your stats from back in the day, because I remember you from playing a baseball video game, Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball on the N64. And I remember around 1999 with the Philadelphia Phillies, what you were able to do. Really appreciate you joining me on the show today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Excited to get the season going. It's here we are, right? 2023.
About time. And we're hoping here in Houston to see the Houston Astros be the first repeat World Series champions since the late 90s and early 2000s with the New York Yankees. It's obviously really difficult to do. We've been trying to figure out who's going to be the biggest challenger. I imagine on the National League side of things, the team that you played for most of your career, the Phillies, among other teams, are going to be real problems should the Astros get there. But in the American League itself, off the top of my head, I'd assume it's going to be the Yankees and the Mariners. Is there anyone else that you think could really vie for the American League pennant?
You have to watch out for the Toronto Blue Jays. They're a team that, you know, they're young, athletic. It seems like everybody in their lineup is the son of someone I played against. That's how old I am. So, you know, but they have an explosive offense. And under the radar, when they acquired Dalton Varsho, his dad was a Phillies coach that I played with back in the day. This guy is really talented. I mean, so they have a lot of depth, a lot of youth, and their pitching is strong. You have Gausman, you have guys at the front line, Barrios, if he can kind of get back to his form. I think they're someone you have to watch very closely. Right now I have them, you know, picked to go very far, and so those are the teams. Especially now you have the balanced play. You know, you're playing each team the same so that, you know, you have your division teams, and then you get to play all 30 teams, so to speak, all 29. And that's going to be interesting, especially for the wild card.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's been one of my concerns for the Astros going into this year. It's been nice to beat up on the American League West, mostly the A's, the Angels, and Rangers over the last couple of seasons, but now you've got 24 less games against the AL West. Okay, less games against the Mariners. I think the Astros will sign up for that. But without Justin Verlander this year eating up as many innings as he did, without Jose Altuve for at least the next month plus, Michael Brantley not being back until the end of the month, how much do you think that'll affect the Astros, who at the end of things were really able to run away with that first seed in the American League going into the playoffs?
Well, anytime you have Jose Altuve, you know, on the shelf, that's a problem. You can't really replace him for so many intangibles. You know, Lance McCullers is another challenge, and you know, they have phenomenal pitchers, no question, and that's a strength of the Astros and will continue to be. But you know, you look at, you mentioned the division, Texas Rangers, they're not going to be a walk in the park. You know, DeGrom coming out there, if he can stay moderately healthy. One interesting thing about the Rangers is Corey Seager is the guy that was most affected by the shift. And with that gone, you could find that 290 hitting Corey Seager again. So I think the division's a little bit stronger in that regard with the Rangers. But also, like you mentioned, the Astros are dealing with some health issues. But, Dusty Baker is someone I've known a long time, and he just makes lemonade out of lemons. He just finds a way to focus on what he does have and make it work. And that's why he's one of the best managers of all time.
Doug Glanville with us, ESPN baseball analyst, former baseball player on the HRNP guest line. I'm glad I mentioned that a moment ago. You mentioned the shift and some of the other changes that are coming to baseball this year. We have seen a little bit of stubbornness, specifically with Kimbrel and Real Muto the other day when it came to the pitch clock. What are your thoughts specifically on that? I love the results that we have seen thus far in terms of times of game coming out of spring training, but I'll also admit, for most people that are watching a baseball team on a daily basis, it's tough to really get a true feeling for spring training because a lot of the games aren't televised. Do you like the changes, specifically the pitch clock and its impact thus far?
I do. I like it. I mean, and I wouldn't say I was sold in the beginning. I come from the 70s and 80s, and they had a tempo and a rhythm, and they didn't need a clock. But culturally, the game had changed so much with not only players walking around the mound before every pitch and fishing batting gloves, you know, checking their temperatures or whatever. So there was all kinds of delay, and it was dead time. And yes, I bet you if you put the clock in for 2-3 years, you'll have a whole culture. If you took it away, they'd probably be just used to it at that point. So it just matter. It was shifting the culture to emphasize tempo, rhythm, moving things along, not like max effort every pitch, but you know, not as much recovery, but just getting the ball in play and keeping it moving. So I do like it. I think it's created. Well, first of all, the games in spring training are 25 minutes shorter, and I think it's going to continue in the regular season. I don't see why it wouldn't translate, even with those late inning moves. So that's one aspect of it. And no doubt, I'm watching the shift very closely, because what I noticed in watching these games or calling the games in spring training is, I was like, okay, fine. There's not three guys on that side. That's obvious. But one thing that's not as obvious is that they have to be on the dirt. And if a guy hits a hard liner or a hard ground ball, 100 miles an hour, just to the left or right of the infielder, it's hard for them to get it on the left side of a lefty smoking a ball to the right side of the field, because they're on the dirt. That it's almost like, I bet you a lot of these infielders feel like they're right on top of the hitter. That's it's the fact that they can't be in the grass and create that bow angle that they can kind of go deeper and make the deep throw. That's I saw 4 or 5 hits in one game that were 4 or 5 feet to the left of the fielder. They were hit so hard, though, he couldn't get to it. And so I'm curious about, I think that's going to be a very big deal in terms of angles. The fact that not only was the depth and putting three people on one side a big deal from, you know, just taking away space, it was also your ability to round the ball and have time to get in front of it and get your glove on it. And now that they're closer and there's only two of them, you know, that, those two factors, I think, will have an exponential compounding effect on balls getting through.
That's an interesting point, Doug, and something I hadn't thought about. Doug Glanville, ESPN baseball analyst, former baseball player with us on the HRNP guest line. And, you know, when it comes to the actual shift, I imagine that baseball managers will have some sort of workaround. I saw something that had been proposed before the start of spring training, that some teams might move one of their outfielders over and perhaps leave a third baseman on an island of his own, specifically, I guess, shifts against left-handers. Do you feel like eventually teams will figure out a way to work with the rules and perhaps keep some of the same things that we've seen in the game the last couple of years that's been reducing the amount of balls in play?
Oh, they will. You know they're gaming it right now. They're all looking at the computer like, wait a minute, how we figure this out? Yeah, Joey Gallo, they put the left fielder over on the right side of the field and still kept that, you know, three-man right field, infield, so to speak. So, yeah, they'll do it. And even four outfielders in the outfield was interesting last season. You saw it against Anthony Rizzo a lot, Rafael Devers for some strange reason, and so on. So, yes, they will game it. And part of it, what I'm curious about spring training is, are they really showing us everything in spring?
Yeah.
Or are they going to roll out some things in the regular season? And I bet you they do roll out some strategies in the regular season just to, you know, sort of make sure they didn't tip their hand. But it's still going to be hard to take away unless you're willing to move an outfielder. It's going to be hard to say, oh, I'm going to consistently have three people on the right side of the field to stop, you know, Kyle Schwarber or something. It's just a lot of risk. And if your pitchers are not executing, which is generally not the problem with the Astros, but overall, if you're a team that struggles with command and you try all this fancy stuff and you don't hit your spots, you start pitching against your defense, and now you have literally nobody in left field, that's an inside-the-park home run. I like that. The stolen bases with the bigger bases is one thing, but it's also the fact that they can't throw over more than twice without risking a balk. I think you'll see more speed, more aggressiveness in stolen base attempts, and so far that's been true in spring training. So it's all good in that way. You're creating tempo, you're creating high-energy, exciting plays, and you're moving the game along, which it needed to. It needed kind of a kick in the pants to get more rhythm and tempo.
Right. There's a lot of trying to go for power, but it led to basically three results. It's, hey, strikeout, walk, home run, or fly ball. I'm not going to lie. I imagine you feel the same way as a guy who, you know, led the National League in hits back in 19, or excuse me, you're second in the NL in hits in 1999. And I miss the days of the contact hitter. You know, I miss seeing guys like Tony Gwynn that were just able to slap the ball into the outfield, among other players being able to do that. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but it feels like, hey, when this shift has been available, that if some guys would be just willing to go the other way, maybe easier said than done. I don't know. Maybe this problem could have been averted, because there is an interesting element to this shift. That some of the baseball strategies that we've been seeing used over time, I like it. And now it's interesting that you're just restricting players to the way that they're going to be held in this coming season.
And part of it just was, you have a product that is supposed to entertain. And, you know, when there seems to be this unfair advantage, it's so weighted against the hitter, and they can't get themselves out of their own hole. You have to try something. And look, guys are throwing 100 miles an hour with cutters on your hands. I mean, you're not going to guide the ball over that easily to the left side. It's you know, opposite field. I mean, yes, I appreciate hitters that can do that. It's just really difficult. And so, yeah, just beat the shift is one thing. But you also run into the problem where the incentive in the game, whether payday or financial or other, is to hit the ball out of the ballpark. It's just, all right, am I going to take this short, choked up two-strike swing, and I'm Shohei Ohtani, and slap it the other way, or am I going to try to take one more swing that I can hit over the rocks in center field? You know, it's like, fine, I strike out 30 more times by not choking up or trying to make contact, but I hit 7 more home runs. You know, that these are the calculations. And I think with the game, one of the problems, I think, entertainment-wise, is you have so much data that they're synthesizing, which, first of all, takes a lot of time. And it's also making you very risk-averse. You say, well, I could steal third, but I'm only gaining my increasing my team's, you know, run probability by 20 percentage points. But if I get caught, I'm cutting out 40%. Like, they know these numbers. So when you see 20 versus 40, I can make it and gain 20 and get caught and lose 40. You're just like, well, I just won't even do it at all. I'm just not going to do it at all. And you start to eliminate plays altogether, stolen bases, you know, bunts, all these things, because it's just the risk and the calculation doesn't work. But we know that when you're inspired by something, it's important that you celebrate the low percentage plays. You know, you love the fact that, you know, some guy that you didn't expect comes in off the bench and throws a no-hitter or something. You know, it's just something different that we celebrate, those, like, low-percentage plays, because they're exciting. So I think they're struggling with that. And, you know, right now the pitching had so many advantages. The velocity, the specialization, you know, the cutters, all these pitches. Like, it's just a different game. And making contact is as hard as it's ever been.
Doug Glanville with us. Doug, I got to ask you the most basic question of all as we get ready for the start of the season tomorrow. Who's winning the World Series?
Well, this is what I always do. Like, I get these prediction sheets, you know, at ESPN. We do that. So I always tell them that today, this is what my picks are. So now, as I mentioned, I think the Blue Jays are going to be the one that gives the Astros the biggest headache. And that's the team that I would watch for the most. I mean, I think in the National League, I had Atlanta today, depending on how they, you know, they stay healthy. But they have a lot of young guys that are not only young, but they're locked up contractually. That's a big thing. You know, Austin Riley, these guys have 5, 7, 10-year deals. They have the security and still the motivation to be there and be successful. So I think they're going to be a team that makes the Phillies and Mets sweat a lot, Dodgers and so on. So, but yeah, the Astros are going to be—they're definitely 1-2 favorite in this race. They're not any really weaker other than injury, and you know they have the championship. And Dusty Baker is—I mean, he's going to coach until he can't anymore. He's just going to go on, and that man wants like 5-10 rings if he can. So I don't think he's going to stop anytime soon. He has so much to offer the game, and now he's a world champion. So. And he's got a team to be able to repeat it.
Appreciate you joining us, Doug. Enjoy the start of the baseball season. It's finally here, and we'll see you on ESPN all season long. Thanks, Doug.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Up next, Stephen Silas, more like Stephen
cry more, and the biggest Rocket scandal all season long. Paul Gallant Show, don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.